Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Amen and amen. Praise God. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. And we are back again. So we are going to be looking into the word of God very briefly. And I do ask that you will get your notes and you will get your pen and just try to get a few notes as I teach this evening. I'm going to be teaching on something that is very simple, very interesting. But I think for every thing that seems to be interesting, there seems to be some bitter process to it. But all in all, it's going to be a blessed meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. So this evening, I've titled this message, Loving in a Practical Way. Okay, I'm going to start my scriptures from the book of John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and I'm from verse 11. John chapter 15, I'm from verse 11. Hallelujah. John chapter 15, I'm from verse 11. I'll take a few scriptures. It says, "There, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Now, unfortunately, this is not my core scripture, but there's something powerful here. Listen, our Lord Jesus is teaching us. In the book of Psalms, the scripture says, "In his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are evermore." Now, our Lord Jesus comes in John chapter 15 and verse 11 and says that there are certain things I've spoken to you about, that if you consider those things, my joy, that joy that you get when you abide in his presence, it will remain in you. It will not be something temporary. It will not be something you only get when you come to church on Sunday. It's going to be something that is like a permanent, endless river of joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he said, "These things I've spoken to you." And when Jesus is saying that, you need to go back and read the entire scripture and begin to mark those places in your scriptures. Because what that means is that every instruction and every form of guidance that has been given to us is to guarantee a continuous flow of the river of joy. That means you are able to walk in the presence of God without necessarily being a worship leader. Amen. So it's good to be a worship leader. It's good to be a prayer warrior. But if you want to walk in an endless stream of God's presence, we need to pay attention to John chapter 15. Okay, Jesus said, and he taught us, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you." That means if you violate these things I'm saying to you, my joy, my access, your access to my presence will be retrieved. Now, if you look at verse 10, which is the verse preceding that statement in verse 11, he said, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love." So something else kind of strikes me here, and that is that the idea of loving God is not really an emotion per se, but a decision. Yes, there is that sense in which we are emotional, we love God. Sometimes we may even weep and do a few things. But what our Lord just is telling us here is it seems that I have to make a deliberate decision about loving God. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to get excited about it. What he's just saying that, look, the moment you make that decision to love God, the evidence of that love will be in your desire to do what he tells you. Okay, so this is very, very profound. And I want you to please grasp this truth. Okay, because it's very foundational to what we are saying. Sometimes people may be talking to us, sometimes as pastors, people could say, ah, pastor, you know, I'm struggling with loving God, I'm struggling with obeying God, I'm struggling with walking in the will of God. Oh, how can God ask me to marry somebody that I don't love? How can God ask me not to take that job? How can God ask me to relocate out of my, you know, comfort zone into a place that I really don't want to, you know, I don't want to stay there, I don't want to live there, you know? So, but Jesus is saying something, that the moment you make that decision, and let me tell you this, it's not as if you have to, God is asking you to love him against your desires. What he's saying is that if you keep his commandments, in verse 10, you will abide in his love. What that means is that it's just like you know, you go close to a burning, you know, you can see burning fire, a heap of burning wood, and there's a huge fire there, and then you go over there, and after some time, because of your proximity to the burning flames, you begin to smell smoke. What that means is that every believer, we have to start out in faith in deciding or choosing to love God. Then when you make that decision, God begins to supply the grace to be able to walk in that love, because it gives you revelation. Revelation that helps you see the truth about your decision. It helps you to appreciate, sometimes through experiences you may be having in your office or in a relationship with somebody, you begin to see the love of God. Sometimes maybe somebody like trying to really upset you, and you just notice that somewhere in your heart, you are not able to be vindictive against that person. Most of the times, the work that God's love does in us, they are very quiet. The kind of work that God's love do in a man or in a woman, they are very quiet. Sometimes you may not even know you are changing. You may not even know that something good is happening on your inside until God decides to test what he has done, okay? And really, God will test everything he creates. God will test everything he has done. He created man and he allowed the enemy to test him. Unfortunately, man failed. God gave Abraham a child and decided to test his love, whether the love was for him or for his child. Where is your allegiance? You've been praying for this child. Now I've given you this child. So where is your allegiance? Do you love me or do you love it? Okay, do you love me or do you love the idea of a good life? Do you love me or do you love the idea of a good husband? Do you love me or the idea of this dream job? Every time God gives you something, I want to encourage you to expect that thing could be tested. Praise God. So that's why he continues to emphasize the place of abiding in the love of God. This is very, very important. Again, like I'm saying to you, I'm teaching on loving in very practical ways. Okay, so I'm not just talking about loving God in the heavenly places. I'm really talking about loving God, and I'm talking about loving people. Okay, so this is very, very important. Now I want you to look at verse 13. And this is also a foundational scripture, John chapter 15, from verse 13. The moment let me take 11 and 12. The moment our Lord Jesus began to speak to us about the joy of the Lord remaining in us, in verse 12, the next thing he began to talk about was the love of God. The next thing Jesus began to teach us about was the love of God. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." Please back up a bit. If you look at verse 10, our Lord Jesus began to explain to us the importance of loving God and obeying God. Two verses, you know, down that chapter, he began to talk about loving people and laying our lives down for people. And this is where I'm trying to brush this evening. Now, the issue of love, as simple as it may sound, is actually not simplistic. And what many of us have done is, or let me say, what the world has tried to do is to redefine love in such a way that we begin to see love from just a fleshly contribution, or some effort by a man, you know, to just, you know, try to fit into society. I was at a particular location, I think about a week ago, and I stumbled into three elderly women, One of them wore a, one of them was like a Catholic sister. The other one looked like a white garment, or maybe white garment, or maybe CAC or something, like a prayer ministry. And the other woman was, you know, dressed very, you know, eclectic, like it was up, sister. But I could put their age maybe somewhere around 40, at least, or each of them could have been like 40. And I heard it was up sister that her voice was so loud. I just came there to do business, so I just, but, you know, I refused to be tempted to get into that conversation. So the it seems that every time people of different factions come close to you know to each other and they're having a conversation and they cannot agree, the next thing they talk about is love. So I heard one of the ladies say, the eclectic sister, and she was saying, oh, it doesn't really matter where you attend, you know, it's all about love. And I started laughing. I'm sure they must have stared at me because, you know, he says it's all about love. You know, when you see somebody that needs money, try to assist the person. If you see somebody you can help, try to help the person. I laughed. The reason why I was laughing is not because what they were saying was wrong. It's because they are trying to push that idea as the definition, the proper definition of how God's love operates. And God is saying that for love to be genuine, based on this scripture in verse 13, it is not even so much about giving. It's that you see a man you don't know and you are even willing to lay your life down. So what that means is that you cannot even fulfill the law of God, the law of love, in the flesh. You can start out by a decision. But as you journey with God on that path, you now realize that you even need the grace of God to love. I wish somebody heard that one. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That you now realize that going telling people that, oh, all that matters is love, you are just trying to be simplistic. It's not really as easy as that. Because one of the things that the scripture says to us, and I want to read this to you in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to look at verse 1 and 2. I'll just take verse 2a. Verse 1, it says 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Look at this. He said, this I want you to know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. What is the first evidence of that perilous time? Look at verse 2. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Praise God. Men shall be lovers of themselves. What Paul is telling us here is that forget that old idea about helping the poor. Forget that old thing people tell you about showing love to your neighbor. Paul is saying that the sign of the last day is that men's love will be directed towards themselves. What that indicates is that if I understand what Paul has said here, I will understand the driving force behind most of the social media platforms that we have today. I wish somebody just heard me. Now, this is not a message about you not looking good at all. I'm just telling you that man will become unsatisfied. Man will no more be satisfied with the perception of himself in the mirror. So people are going to create virtual selves of realities of themselves. People are going to look for unexplainable ways to redefine their self-concept. And when you get into that point, You cannot love God and love self at the same time. Okay, I saw somebody made a post on Facebook and said that there's this common practice about people almost nude on their birthdays. And in fact, the lady, like, they just, some of them, she quoted some of them and said, oh, it's my birthday. It can only be the Holy Spirit, it can only be God that has kept me. Happy birthday to me. So when So this lady was saying, it's okay for you to want to be nude. It's your Facebook page. But please, can you keep the Holy Spirit out of it? Now, when somebody goes ahead and says to you, it can only be God that has kept me. It can only be the Holy Spirit. Now, you have committed two sins. Number one, you have laid claim to a God that you do not honor by violating a scripture that says that a believer should be moderate in all things. Now, on the side of we pastors, there's a flip side to it. Because as pastors, sometimes we want to be, I don't know what word is, this word for stars. We want to be stars. We want to be seen at popular events. You want to look like you are hippie, you are happy. You want to have this eclectic view. People see you. You are dressed in all the fancy clothes and all of that. And that is good. But there's the underlying thing there that I'm seeing is that men shall be lovers of themselves. Now, you see this thing called love. Love is not positive or negative. It is the direction you give to it that it will morph or, you know, demonstrate its ability in. So when a man says, I love God, it is that same love in his heart that he has decided to, you know, turn in the direction of God's will. And when a man begins to become a lover of self, that man will seek only his own. It's not just in the way you look. It's in the way you do your things. Okay? It's in the way you do your things. And Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, the first thing he said there was that men will become lovers of themselves. So you cannot be a lover of yourself and at the same time become a lover of God. Let me step aside to say this, that loving people God's way can be very tough. Loving people God's way can be very tough. And in fact, this is the way God put it in my heart. If this is the way God put it in my heart, that he said, if you want to love people, do so with your eyes focused on me. Let me repeat. The Lord laid it in my heart this way. He said, if you want to love people, do so while your eyes and your gaze is kept on me. Because the chances are that most of the people you are going to love, they will throw it back into your face. And I'm not just talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about Christians. They are going to throw it back into your face. They'll make you feel like a fool. They'll make you look into the mirror and ask yourself, how foolish can a man be? The moment you know and you understand that these things are going to happen, the moment you know that these things are going to happen, you don't have to bother about disappointments anymore. You can have somebody live with you. You can have somebody in your house who eats your food. And the person might even sleep on the same bed with you. And the person is going to go out there and destroy your character. Do you understand what I'm saying? The person is going to go out there and the person is going to destroy your character. And please don't look too far and say, oh, maybe no. I'm talking about people in your life. I'm talking about people you know. I'm talking about people you went to school with. I'm talking about people you gave money to. Okay? I'm talking about people who you have helped but have an unusual density of entitlement. So please, when you put people in your house, try to observe them, okay? Because some people, the only way you can help them is that they stay with you for just 1 week. That's all. If you try to go beyond that, that grace God has given you will turn to disgrace. Okay? And like I said to people, if you are going into any form of relationship, you are trying to help somebody, please try to define the nature of that relationship. You are going to be here for 2 weeks. Spell it out. And if the 2 weeks is up and, you know, you feel you still need some more time, go back to the person who has accommodated you and say, please, can I stay 1 more week? And this is the reason. We have a lot of people out there with very bad attitude. They just expect you to know that they are not ready to go. It doesn't work that way. Okay? My friend was saying to me, just got back from the UK, and he was saying to me that, look, that in the UK, if you walk past a man and the man, you know, you know, maybe an elderly man, and after walking past him, the man, maybe the man just fell down, you know, nobody pushed him. That if, as a concerned person, if you go back and pick that man up, you could be sued, because the man will tell you that, oh, it was when you picked him up that his leg started, you know, paining him. So he said the proper thing to do is to ask that man, would you like some help? Would you, you know, speak the English to them and ask, let him tell you, help me. That you don't assume people need something simply because they look like they need it, because that's where the problem is going to start from. So don't just say, I thought you should know I'm hungry. I am not in your mind. If you are hungry, you have to speak up. Okay, and some of us have got into this problem because of our good nature. It's just like maybe you have sisters, you are very close to them. Every time you are in your, you know, with each other, you know, they go into your room and come out, but now you are married. And many of them cannot tell the difference between what you used to be and what you are now. Okay? So many of them just come into your room, even though they know that you are now married, you know, and they just expect your husband to understand. No, we are not going to understand. We are going to throw you out. Okay? We are not going to understand. You are going to leave this house. So there are a lot of things that people do, you know, in the name of love. It comes back to haunt you, and you start asking yourself, oh God, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? So this message is to give you a kind of, you know, frame from where you can actually operate. Okay, so love can be tough, and it is real. Okay, I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you really wanted to call it quit to somebody you were helping, and the Lord was saying, no, don't do it. Continue helping the person. And I'm like, this person doesn't even appreciate it. I mean, just go out and, I mean, everybody's going to be okay. Everybody's going to be okay at the end of the day. Okay? Somebody is staying in your house, he doesn't want to work, and the person is praying for a job, but he doesn't go out to ask around if there's any job. And then you come back, this person is always watching Netflix. And the person does, you know, his food ration is so, it's like 2.5 people's food compressed into one. You know, and this person is just blessed. He's blessed. And it's always posted on WhatsApp, I'm blessed with 2 plates of food. You know, but he keeps typing on WhatsApp, I'm blessed because I'm favored. But you ain't got a job. You got to go out and look for a job. You know. And even the way some of these people eat, the owner of the house doesn't eat that way. Oh my. It's a serious matter, bro. Okay, so love can be very tough, especially when you have to deal with people who are not sensitive. There are people who stay with us, you know, or with you in your own case maybe. And the moment you just feel like, oh, I need to rest, that's when they start praying and their voice is so loud. You know, they pray so much, like even the owner of the house can't sleep. We have to be sensitive. Now, I'm saying this because maybe, I don't know which side of the divide you are. Maybe you are someone who is suffering now because of the love you have for people, or you are trying to help somebody. Or maybe you are the one making someone suffer because they are Christians and they can't say no to you. Now, please, we need to look at these issues, you know. And really, many times it is the people you love that will come after you. At the end of the day, somebody came to me and the person was broken and said, I put this person in my house, this person slept in my house, ate my food, and I saw the chat, this person was chatting while sleeping beside me. I was chatting with another person and they were insulting me. Okay, so let's just assume I'm the devil. But I gave you a house. I gave you a roof. You are not paying rent. You are staying with me. You are eating my food. And you still have the liver to type while lying down beside me and say, oh, that girl is crazy. She doesn't know what she's doing. She's not serious. She's not serious, but she got a house. She's not serious, but she has money to to cook food for you. She's not serious, but she's not even asking you to pay rent. So love can be tough. And yet, this is the life God has called us to live in. This is the kind of world we are mandated to live in, because you are helping somebody, but you are in two different economies, because somebody is a lover of himself, you are a God lover. So there's going to be some kind of conflict. I don't know if somebody is hearing me this afternoon, because I really want to kill some devils here. There are people that have sworn never to help anybody, not to allow people stay with them again. But it was because of what people who were staying with them, what they did. I'm telling you, it's because of what people did. And listen, let me tell you, if you want to live free, one of the conditions you must obey is the condition of your tongue, what you say with your mouth. You know, I was sharing with us last Sunday, I said when I was writing my thesis, I mean, everybody was practically feeling sorry for me because of the kind of professor I had. I mean, that kind of professor, you should be concerned, actually, you should be concerned. But I decided in my mind, I was not going to say one evil word against this man. Whatever he said, whatever he did, I was just going to take it that way. And brethren, the two of us who made that decision were the only one who graduated under him. Your tongue is powerful. You see, this is the thing about what you say. If I keep saying something terrible about you, even if you are not there, because words are spirit, those words will create a vibe around you. I could just see you like 3 days later, and somewhere in my mind, I'm like, don't talk to this person. Like, there's something off about you. I can't place what it is. But somewhere I feel a disconnection. Why? Because the vibe around you is sending me signals. But it may take a while for me to know what exactly that thing is. So you don't talk about people, oh, she's not there, what's she going to do? She's going to do a lot of things, because she's going to cut you off. And then when they throw them out, they say, oh, she call herself a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. That's why I threw you out. Okay? So I'm saying this because people need to be responsible, okay? Especially Christians. We need to be responsible. We need to be grateful. If somebody gives you a ride, you know, say thank you. Don't feel entitled. Don't make love difficult. What does it cost you? Just thank you, you know? There are men that don't even thank their wives after taking a meal. Because the guy is an African man, okay? The guy is an African man. The man doesn't... The guy is an African man in a global village now. Some people are still... They can't even say thank you. Somebody gives them food. They just don't say, well, what's there? Is it not food? Ah! Oh, my. There's even a terrible one I see in Lagos. If you have two cars coming from different directions, and then I've seen this one like a million times. If you give the other person the privilege of, you know, coming through before you, they don't even acknowledge you. They don't even, just use your own and say thank you. You could have both insisted at, you know, going across the road the same time, but you decided to, you know, honor that person and allow the person to come. Then some people just drive past you recklessly, like they are entitled. People just, and I'm telling you, these people have all kinds of Christian stickers on their car. There are some of these cars that are more born again. Those cars are more born again than the drivers that are inside. I'm telling you. So love can be very, very difficult. And these are things we really need to talk about. Okay? Look at what Jesus said, not Jesus now, Colossians 3:14. That's Paul, Colossians 3:14. Let's look at that. I hope I can get that very quickly. Colossians 3 and verse 14. Look at what he said. And above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Now, what is he saying here? Paul is simply telling us, love is something you can put on like a shirt. You can decide you are not going to walk in hatred. You can decide you are not going to walk in bitterness. You can decide that you will not allow what happened 2 years ago hold you back. You can decide to move on and begin to walk in love. That he's saying you can put on love. And that suggests to me that I can choose to put on bitterness. I can choose to put on doubt. I can choose to put on depression. Whatever reality I'm facing through, somewhere in my mind, I have permitted that thing to be there. And Paul is saying, look, he said, put above all things, put on love. That means if you want to be a prayerful person, before you begin to pray, ask yourself, are you walking in love? Because if you are walking in love, maybe you may not even need to pray that prayer. Okay, before you begin to bind and loose, sometimes you need to put on love and then look at that situation through the spectacles of love. What I'm sharing with you here is the reason why we are messed up in Nigeria, in Africa. Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody is self-centered. Everybody is looking after his own. I mean, for Christ's sake, the early church, two people died for not walking in complete love. And I'm talking about Ananias and Sapphira. They died. Okay? The system survived because people loved. But certain people decided to stop walking. So they want to leave off the church. Some people decided to stop being nothing. It's amazing. It's amazing how that people who don't want to do anything are the ones who like money. People who don't want to go out there and do stuff, they just feel entitled. Oh, no, but the church is not helping me. Believers don't love. Did I say believers don't love? There are things people say. Any serious person will just laugh at you and walk away. I once attended a church many, many years ago. I remember in those days, the pastor would say, many of you are not committed. Many of you are not committed in Christ. You are not this. Why? He said, because those of us who are, walking, who are not showing up for services and all and that. So I had to go to him and say, look, I said, the service, this was like many years ago. Like, the service starts at so-so time. If I leave my office and I start coming down, and I've done this several times, like, the service would have ended, the gates would have been locked because of the traffic and all. Okay? So this is not really about, maybe because you are not committed and all. Sometimes you really need to sit and listen to people and find out why they are doing what they are doing. In my own case, I had to walk up to this particular person and I explained, look, I may not be able to do this because of the nature of what I do. And I explained to him. And that was it. We left it at that. Okay? It's different from somebody who doesn't even want to walk. Okay? Somebody who doesn't want to do anything. Somebody who is waiting for a miracle. And then the person says, the church of God does not love. The church of God doesn't love. You need to get up and go look for a job. And then when you see people paying tithes at the end of the month, you need to respect those people, because some of these guys have gotten like 10 queries that month. People have cried. Stuff had happened during the month. I mean, in the office. A client had insulted you. Your boss had insulted you. So every time you bring your tithe to the Lord, you are bringing sweat. You are bringing blood. You are bringing your effort. It is not anything to be taken lightly. It's not something for anybody to just say, how much is the tithe? Do you know what we're talking about here? This is somebody's blood. And that is why God honors it. If it was free, if it was cheap, it may not really mean anything. Because David said, I will not give to God something that does not cost me, anything that does not cost me something. So we need both those who are giving the love and those who are receiving it. We need to look at this thing in a very practical way. Now, let me give you a few tips here, because I have a lot more scripture that I could read. Okay? I could read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Maybe just write that down, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. You could also write 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. But let me tell you this before we round up. If somebody helps you, whether remotely or directly, and you know that this person helped you, please recognize that person. Now, I believe I'm speaking to Christians. I'm not telling people to say, I did it for God. I'm talking about you that was helped. Because I mean, some people just believe after I did it for God. I'm trying to prevent the heavens from closing over people. Because a lot of people, Paul taught us, he said in the last days, men shall be ungrateful. Men shall be ungrateful. Okay? Men shall be ungrateful. Somebody's having a problem. I mean, it's not really like, oh, everything, all the glory goes to God. But I mean, if somebody stood with you in the place of prayer and kept praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, why can't you acknowledge, Father, that this person is a blessing in your life? Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's not just about your pastors, it's about everybody. It's about everybody. Somebody gives you money. Do you have money to go to work? Somebody gave you $1,000. Why can't you recognize it? I'm telling you how God, you see, because God sees all these things. God sees that. You may not even know that that $2,000 that this person gave to you might have been the last. Okay? Like savings. And the person just gave it to you. So I do hope that this message will lead to a change of response from everybody. Like, we can all be better. Don't pray and say, God, make me better. Just decide to be better. Okay? So if somebody does something good to you or for you, make it public. If possible, go on your WhatsApp status and say, thank you. Call the person or visit the person. Make it public. Everything can't be about what is going on in Nigeria. I mean, like, there are still very good people. There's a particular program that sometimes I stumble on radio. I think it's probably 99.3. And people just call in to mention people's name and thank them. Oh, this person paid my child's school fees. This person. I mean, I'm like, wow. So we still have good people everywhere. Now, this person may not even know. But somebody actually called in and mentioned his name and said, like, this person helped me and he did this and did this and did that and did that. So if I was listening, I mean, I'm probably driving and I'm listening to that kind of a program, I'm probably thinking, wow, I really can take my love life in terms of helping people a notch higher. But you just keep reading all this bad news around Nigeria's politics and who is coming in 2023, you will not help anybody. I'm telling you, you just believe everybody's out to get what is out to get. So please, if somebody has helped you, make it a principle. Make it a principle. Don't say, I will do it if God says no. Go to the person and say, thank you. Thank you. If a brother who is married gives you 1,000 naira, say thank you. And if possible, in front of his wife. Don't assume that, oh, he just gave that money. Most married men, especially those who are spirit-filled, will not give anybody money if they don't tell their wives. Now, okay, you may not agree, but just leave that one. So don't assume that the wife doesn't know. Or don't assume that, oh, maybe somebody's wife gave you money that the husband doesn't know. They may just be, you know, they won't want to make you uncomfortable. They just keep quiet like they didn't see anything. Secondly, please, I want to beg you. Understand the kind of person you are dealing with. Understand the kind of boss you have. Don't confuse your boss for your friend. Your boss is not your friend. You are working with somebody. Okay? If somebody in your office or somebody around the house or somebody in church does you a great favor, maybe gives you money, gives you pocket money, allows you to stay in his house or helps you in some way, please, don't start by sending a text. I beg you. You see, this generation, we are very unruly, and we don't know. We are very unruly. A text is not the first thing you will send. It is the last. The first thing you need to do is to go and visit that person and say thank you. Go and say thank you. After that, you can, if the person is far away, pick your phone and call. Don't send a message and say thank you for your help. What does that even mean? I mean, a text message has no emotion. You know, when I was working in the bank, I discussed it with my wife often. My principle with my staff, those that report to me, don't send me a message to tell me you are sick. Because that text message doesn't have emotions. For all I care, you may be somewhere with your boyfriend, or maybe you went for the weekend somewhere, you couldn't come back from Abeokuta, or you're in traffic, you're telling me that, oh, you are sick. or you can't get up from the bed. How do I know? Am I supposed to leave the office on the island and come to your house at Ijuishaga or Egbeda to come and confirm if it's true that you have a headache? Pick your phone. When I joined the bank, the principle here was that if you are sick, bring yourself to the office. That's what they taught me. Bring yourself to the office, let your supervisors look at you, then tell you to go to the hospital. And all of these things happened because people started lying. People started lying about their situation. People went for a party in Akure, in Abuja, couldn't make it down, missed their flight on Sunday, and then said, oh, their head was banging, there's something happened to them, and they can't come to work. If somebody helps you, let everything around you show that you are grateful. Let everything. There are people who just send text and believe that, what was that? Is it, I already said thank you. So what if that person doesn't read the text? Please, I'm saying this because I know this generation, we are very good with sending messages, WhatsApp and all of that. But some of us are still old school. Some of us still like it the old way. Even though you will go to these people and they will tell, ah, no, 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 don't worry. I did it for God. Don't worry. God bless you. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived though. If you are not a grateful person and you just use text message, the next time you come to me, it is text message I will use to send you away. So please, it takes a whole lot. Don't just expect everybody to be Christian. People have principles, and you need to understand how this thing works. If you belong to a particular organization or office where they respond with calls or text messages, please don't send WhatsApp, please. You need to understand what the culture of the house is. Okay? But here we are actually talking about gratitude. And that person may not say anything. He may just respond casually. In fact, from the way such people will respond to your message, you will know that there's a problem. That's if they respond at all. I have a particular customer or a client who is like a senior friend, and he will say to me, if I do anything for you, don't thank me. Don't thank me. He will tell you. He said, if you thank him, he's going to be very upset at you. And he said that's his own covenant with God. But I realized later that the man actually likes gratitude. So what it means is that, don't tell me that Nigerian thank you. Look for your own unique way to be grateful. That's what I realized after I studied that man. Because I realized that the man started shutting people down. He started shutting people down. Simply because they had an ungrateful spirit. Now, let me also say this. Don't blank out of a person who has blessed you. Don't blank out. This one is very common. There are people that, oh, when they are with you, they are very nice, they are all of that. The moment they move out of your house and move to their own place, they cut you off, they block you. They expect you to be the one checking on them. Ah, my God, my God, my God. Listen to me. Don't blank out of people who have been a blessing to you even for one day. If somebody put you in his house for 1 week, 2 weeks, please choose to remember that favor. If you are in a very tight situation, somebody gave you 10,000, please. Oh my God. I went for a particular meeting, and the brother who was on the altar was like, oh, I want to recognize somebody. And he mentioned my name. And what was he saying? All he was saying was, and I was very uncomfortable with it, but that's what he did. I didn't like it, but that's what he did. He said, oh, when I first got to Lagos, I didn't have anywhere to stay. This was my first landlord. And he went ahead and I wasn't comfortable with it. But the truth of the matter is, if I was in a place and somebody was introducing another person to me and say, oh, meet my friend or meet my mentor or someone. Oh, this person helped me when I first got to this city. The chances are that because of what that person has said, I don't know anything about you, but my respect for you automatically goes a notch higher. Then, because this other person is my friend, I will also see you in the light he has painted you. There are people that stay with people. There are people that are not ashamed to collect money from you. There are people that will not mind. They will drive, take your car out. They will drive it, and they cannot even buy fuel of 2,000 naira back into the car. Because you are a Christian. They expect you to understand. Okay? They will cut off from you until the next day they have a problem. Please don't be in that category. I'm talking about loving in a practical way. You may not be able to pay the person back with money, but you can honor that person in such a way that you are accessible, you are trustworthy. There are people that drive the way they drive other people's cars. You almost wonder if God will bless them with a car. Some people use other people's things recklessly. You know, some people even wear other people's clothes without their permission. You see, you make this thing, you make love become very tough. Because instead of using my anointing to pray for lost souls and do so, I'm having to use my anointing now not to be offended. Simply because I allowed the reckless person into my space. I know this place is quiet today. I don't know. Maybe somebody is feeling me. But I mean, like this real stuff here. I'm just telling you. Because you move into somebody's house. And then that pastor is different when it's on the altar. And I'm just telling you the way it is. It's not. If you want me to, I can tell you now that Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And everybody will be fine. Okay, but I'm telling you that many times it is not the devil that closes the heavens over people. Most times it is our attitude, our response to favors that have been done to us in the past, that closes the heavens. I'm telling you. So entitled people have a big problem. I'm telling you, because most of the people who are ungrateful, they are usually very entitled. Most ungrateful people are very entitled. Please don't blank out of people who have helped you. Whether it's with words of prayer, or they stood with you in a time of need, or they helped you in some way or the other, even if they offend you tomorrow, please give consideration to the past favor and leave them alone. Just leave them alone. Hallelujah. I mean, it is just what it is. It's just what it is. Please, let me also say this, just as we round up. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, the word of God says, let us be kindly affectionate towards another with brotherly love, and in honor let us prefer one another. That's Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And let me say this as we round up. See, everything I've said to you, if you are listening to me, or maybe I'm your pastor, is because I love you. And believe me, I've seen how these kind of things have shut the heavens down on people. You see some people will go out of their way to want to help them, and you wonder why you are not getting the same favor. Look at this scripture. He said, let us be kind and let us be affectionate one to another in a brotherly way. That does not mean that you should take advantage of the person who is being nice to you. You know, somebody told me a story. I mean, like, oh, somebody needed a job. Oh, okay, there's this bank. This bank is recruiting. Apply. This person sounded very desperate over the phone. So the other person said, oh, I know somebody in this bank. Apply to this bank. I will put in a word for you. Guess what the ungrateful but entitled person said? He said, oh, I don't like Lagos. I don't like Lagos. Ah, I thought you said you needed a job urgently. Ah, no, I don't like Lagos. So we left the matter. Only for this person to keep hounding the other person. That I need another job. I'm sorry, I can't deal. Fast forward to several months later, this person now has now realized himself. Now I'm ready to work in Lagos. How does that even change the price of fish in the market? The opportunity is gone. You sometimes you only have an opportunity to be with one person for 5 minutes, and you've got to be ready with what you have to say. You have to be ready. There are some of my mentors, they are not pastors, but they are believers, and they are in the business world. I don't call them except I have something to say. I don't call them to check on them. I call them when I have something to say, because I know every question or statement I will present to them will be a mentorship session. Be affectionate one to another. Let us be able to trust one another. I mean, if I ask you for 5,000 naira, you should not be afraid that this brother is lying. If you ask me for 2,000 naira, why should I even be suspecting that you are lying? But people tell lies in the Holy Ghost. A lot of people lie in the Holy Ghost, and without any form of remorse. He said, let us be affectionate one to another. And he also began to speak about the issue of honor. He said, in honor, let us prefer one another. If you come into a place and you see your sister, she may not even be as anointed as you are. Allow her go in first. Allow her walk through the door. If you are coming to church, you are climbing the stairs, somebody is carrying two bags, help them with a bag. That's what Paul is talking about. These are the things that help people honor each other, love each other, not when they are lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves doesn't mean they will backslide. It means that people begin to do things that they feel favors them, and every other person may go to blazes for all they care. I mean, like, and these things are rife even in our midst as believers. It's the same thing when people go on Facebook and begin to post the problem of the church, the problem of the church. Are you the one that died for the church? Even America has problems. I mean, but every day you see them say, God bless America. Now, if there are problems in the church, guess who the problem is? You, that brother that is posting that thing. Because chances are that you are not even part of the solution. Talk is cheap. Anybody can post anything. Anybody can post anything. Talk is cheap. But when we talk about getting solutions, even in the office and all of that, the people who usually get things done don't talk. They are not loud. And I'm saying this because everybody, including myself, we just need to change. We need to change. You shouldn't be the one getting to the office, and every time they have to cover up for you because you're always late to the office. And then you still talk about people who help you talk. You speak evil about your supervisor. These things are simple. We got to stop it. We bind that devil in the name of Jesus. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. We can love each other without abusing each other. We can love each other. Love can actually be practical. Just the way I treat you, just the way you treat me. And I mean, like, we are able to protect each other, because the truth of the matter is we are all vulnerable. We are all vulnerable. We just have to help each other. We have to cover each other. That's just the way it is. And listen to me. If we obey this scripture, if we obey this teaching, and we go all the way and look at all we have learned today, we are going to find, I didn't get to, touch on the various blessings of love, but they are massive. Just by thinking about them, they will come to your mind. But I can assure you, God is not far from a lover. God is never far from a child of his that loves his neighbor. God is not usually far from somebody. He said, he who wills to do my will shall know of the doctrine. God is not usually far from people who respond in love, people who are merciful. You have 1 Corinthians chapter 13. They say love is kind. Love is patient. Love does not speak ill of any man. These things are the fingers and the characteristics of love. This is not about you being perfect. This is just about you doing the right thing. Okay? I wish I had a better way of saying this thing. But believe me, don't pray and tell God to give you this love. Start from where you are. Make up your mind from today. You are not going to speak evil against anybody or say anything that you are not willing to say in front of them. You are not going to make the favor people extend towards you look like nothing. I mean, just by being different, you will notice you begin to have a beautiful aura around you. And people want to hang around you. People want to be a blessing to you. People just like your spirit. People like, I don't know you, but I just like your spirit. I just like your spirit. You know, at the end of the day, the results will show. You just need to give it 5-10 years. And we're all going to be there. And people like, wow, wow. And some of the people you thought had it all together, it's going to become very clear that they were very hateful people and they didn't really have anything to add to your life. Let's just have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this word. We ask that, Lord, this word will minister grace to everyone who has heard it. It will help each and every one of us to come into a place of change and behavior modification. That as we look unto you, the giver and the author of love, we'll be able to change in our response towards our neighbors, towards our brothers, our sisters, towards people that are on the outside. We receive grace to be faithful in our love work towards you and towards our brothers. In Jesus' mighty name.